My dearly beloved in Christ, there are many topics that suggest themselves to us today. First of all, today is the octave day of Christmas, and special feast days are celebrated for a full week, a period of 8 days, and so it's like celebrating Christmas all over today on the octave day. It is also the feast of the circumcision of our Lord, a reminder of two things. First of all, our Lord submitted himself to the law of Moses because he came to redeem, as St. Paul says, he came to redeem those who were under the law. But also the fact that our Lord showed, even from his infancy, that he had come into this world to redeem us. He shed those first few drops of his most precious blood, reminding us again that the entire purpose of his life was to redeem us, to pay the debt for our sins on the cross. So we have those feasts. It also is the first day of a new calendar year. So a reminder of the blessings that God has given to us by allowing us to see a new year. We do not know how much more time we shall have in this world. For some of us, this may be our last year on the earth. We might not see January 1st, 2024. So reflect upon God's goodness in the time that he has given to us, and let us make certain that we use the time well to love and serve him. Also, today, I want to reflect especially on our Blessed Mother. The office in particular for today has many references to our Blessed Mother. And in particular, one of the antiphones that has always impressed me, Rubem quem viderat Moises, which in English, the bush which Moses saw burning, yet not consumed, is a sign of the preservation of thy glorious virginity. O Mother of God, intercede for us. And many other antiphones and readings, etc., pertaining to our Blessed Mother. Because it is only fitting that during Christmas time, when we are thinking of the birth of the Son of God, we think also of his mother who brought him into the world. God the Father, willing to send his Son into the world and that his Son should follow the course of other human beings by being born, would thereby need a mother. And Almighty God prepared her uniquely for this role. She was conceived without the stain of original sin. She was always free from sin for her entire life. And she was filled with every grace and blessing possible, such that the height of her holiness is inconceivable to us. As she herself said in the Magnificat, "He who is mighty has done great things for me. All generations shall call me blessed, because he that is mighty has done great things to me." So we should reflect at Christmas time on our Blessed Mother and her role in being the mother of our Redeemer. You could not have an image of the stable scene without our Blessed Mother there. It would make no sense to have the crib with the infant, to have the animals there, perhaps the angels, and not have the mother. And what is interesting is that those who have a devotion to our Blessed Mother come to truly know and love and understand our Lord. It's on the Feast of the Epiphany that we have this Friday. In the Gospel, it talks about how the Magi followed the star, how at one time it disappeared, and then finally, it reappeared and led them right to the spot where the child was. And it says, entering in, they found the child with Mary, his mother. Now, that can be understood not only in the literal sense that you find a child with its mother, but in a spiritual sense. Those who truly find Christ, those who truly come to know and love Jesus, do so through their devotion to our Blessed Mother. St. Louis Marie de Montfort says in his book on True Devotion, "You cannot have God for your father if you do not have Mary for your mother? And I have been told this on a number of occasions by converts, that there's almost a feeling of resentment that they were never told about our Blessed Mother, about the beauty of devotion to our Blessed Mother. Because in Protestantism, it is believed that somehow we Catholics detract from the honor that is due to our Lord by having a devotion to his mother. And yet nothing could be further from the truth. Do we think that Jesus is displeased when we honor his mother? Of course not. It greatly pleases him that we esteem and honor his immaculate mother. I want to read a short section from a book on theology, on the particular branch in theology that we call Mariology, dealing with our Blessed Mother. And the author says this, "In calling the Blessed Virgin Mediatrix, we do not mean to deny that Jesus Christ is our sole mediator. The mediation of Mary rests entirely upon that of her divine Son and would be utterly ineffective without it. Christ, who is our sole and natural mediator, obtained the power of mediation for his Blessed Mother by his death on the cross. Hence, to acknowledge Mary as our mediatrix does not detract from the mediatorship of Jesus, as most Protestants allege, but confirms that dogma and leads to a higher estimation of it. As the fatherhood of God loses nothing through the coexistence with it of an earthly fatherhood, and as the sovereignty of mundane princes does not detract from, but rather emphasizes and confirms the dominion of the Almighty Ruler of heaven and earth, so the derived mediatorship of the Blessed Virgin Mary does not derogate from, but adds new luster to that of her divine Son." So today is a sort of feast of Our Lady. As I said, this is particularly apparent in the office, the divine office. But here is the collect of today's Mass, which gives us the theme for the day. And in the collect for today we read, "O God, who by the fruitful virginity of Blessed Mary has given to mankind the rewards of eternal salvation, grant, we beseech thee, that we may experience her intercession for us, through whom we have deserved to receive the author of life, Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord." Through her we have deserved to receive, and it means she worthily brought him forth. She worthily did so because she had been conceived without original sin and was always entirely pleasing to Almighty God. I mentioned earlier this antiphon concerning the bush which Moses saw burning yet not consumed is a figure of Our Lady's virginity. Remember how Moses was called by God to go back to Egypt and lead the chosen people out of slavery? And he heard the voice of God coming from a bush that was on fire. And he noticed all the flames and the bush was burning, but what was unusual is that the bush was not consumed by the fire. And Our Lady gave birth to her Son without detriment to, without damage to her virginity. So we say Mary was a virgin before, during, and after the birth of her divine Son, perpetually a virgin. And let us reflect upon her then during this Christmas season, honor her as our mediatrix who helps us to know and love and serve her divine Son. She does not detract from him, but leads us to him. Let us honor the Mother and the Son, and let us ask Our Lady to help us to be always pleasing to her divine Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.